The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
I'm new to Maura Murray.
I know.
I'm new to Maura Murray. Let me say something about cases like this.
Uh-huh.
They drive me bonkers, bananas, crazy up a wall.
Why?
Because it's all questions.
I know.
Nobody knows anything. The person who knows the stuff is not here with us. Because all it is questions. And it's like, here's this batshit crazy theory. Let's go down this road for 45 minutes. Like, no one has any... Could she have done this? Sure. But could she also have done this? Absolutely. There's nothing definitive at all. I'm living in a swirl of question marks, and it makes me really anxious.
You know what I have to say to that?
What?
Jillian Pensacola.
Patrick Hines.
Banana.
That felt nice.
That felt really good. You guys, before we get to the show, come to our Pride show in June. Tickets are selling out. Listen, I heard again, somebody actually tweeted me. It was like, is it just for the gays?
No.
No. It's for everybody. In fact, gays, you're welcome. But I want the straights to come. I want them to learn.
Right. You're going to give quite an education. No, I'm going to be there. Super husband. Mike's going to be there.
Totally.
We have friends coming.
Yeah.
Straight friends, gay friends, anything, anyone you are. Everyone is welcome. Truly.
Yes. And you guys, I'm doing Pride tours that morning. I am going to do my very best to get every single person who wants to go on that tour on that tour.
Yes.
So it's Saturday morning of the show. I'm going to lead a tour through the West Village, show you all the stuff that's in the movie, the stuff from the Marsha movie, stuff from Sex and the City.
Nice.
That's just all in that little neighborhood.
Yeah.
So I'm doing a bunch of tours that morning. Come to the Pride show. Meet your fellow TCO fam.
Yes.
It's going to be so amazing.
Oh, we're going to have so much fun. I still don't have shoes yet, but I'm getting there.
Tickets are going fast. We're down to like 100 tickets left or something like that. Go to the CS Live page. Get your tickets to the Pride show.
And we'll see you there.
Yeah, we'll see you there. Also, you guys, Patreon. You guys, we finished Making a Murderer. It was amazing. The last episode was crazy. What are we doing right now?
Lorena.
You guys, it's the story of Lorena Bobbitt. Remember, she was the one who like cut off her husband's penis.
Do people not remember?
I don't know. Just in case.
Yeah.
John Wayne Bobbitt, the whole story. It's a documentary, 4 episodes. I am obsessed.
I'm obsessed too. And it's a different kind of anger.
It is.
The rage is there.
It's also a different kind of documentary. Like, there's a lot you don't know about this story, you guys.
There is more that you don't know than you do now.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Totally.
Yes.
So join our Patreon. Get all of that. Get all of our like 80 bonus episodes. You can get ad-free versions of these episodes.
I thought you were going to say our 80 episodes of Making a Murderer, which is kind of what it felt like. But
you know, the Jinx serial, Making a Murderer, The Staircase, now Lorena, all of it. All right, girl, are you ready to talk about the disappearance of Maura Murray?
I am. I don't think you've ever been more excited to talk to me about anything. I've been hearing about this for days, how excited you are to talk about this.
We got to... Coming into this, what did you know?
I knew about Tim and Lance and Maggie.
My boys and my girl.
Yeah, I knew that there was a show. I knew that Maura Murray was missing. Yeah, and that's it. Like, I think if I was actually visualizing it, I was like, there's snow involved or something. I think. But I didn't know anything about it, which I know sounds bizarre, but it's true.
We don't know where she is, we don't know where she was going, and we don't know what happened to her.
The UMass college student hasn't been seen since she crashed on Route 112 in Woodsville. A witness saw her walking away from the accident.
She was going to graduate into a nursing career.
She was a role model for me. Such a driven individual.
She didn't deserve any harm.
Where is Maura Murray? What happened to her?
How does a person disappear when there's 3 people watching?
Do you wish you had gone back?
Sometimes I think that I may have disappeared too.
Fred, what do you think happened to Maura?
Guy grabbed her and killed her.
It makes you think that this is a serial killer.
I think Maura found out she was pregnant.
I'd like to think maybe she escaped. She wanted to start her new life somewhere.
Maura, we knew, was completely different than what's come up in all of these theories.
Sure enough, I started peeling back the layers, and I found all these secrets.
It sounded like she was crying, and she mentioned something about her sister.
Why are you upset with the police?
I think they're hiding something.
None of the police
contacted me, and I'm her sister.
You cannot trust anybody. Her family, policemen, people who were on the scene.
What did you do, mister?
You will become obsessed with this case. If you haven't already, you will.
This is a last-ditch attempt to solve this case, and I just want to find the truth.
Potentially, this could be the last piece of evidence that could help us link anything to Maura Murray's case.
I really think you can find her.
See her, please?
What's the longest time you ever sat for a stakeout?
What the hell is this?
There he is.
That's him.
What's he running from? He f***ing knows.
Where is my daughter?
Okay. I feel like my shoulders are at my ears. I feel like I'm just going to be screaming for the next two episodes.
They are and you are. So we're covering the first three episodes of Oxygen's series, right?
Yes. Yeah. So this week, the first three episodes. Next week, the second three episodes.
In case you had any doubt if Oxygen Network was going to Oxygen Network, put those fears to rest. This is a reality show.
Oxygen has a formula, right? So what they do is they sort of like take a case, they find a really smart, really gorgeous woman to be like the quote investigator.
Okay.
And they quote investigate for six episodes. That's what they do.
Right.
So that's what they did for this. Before we go any farther, I just want to say Queen Maggie Freeling. You guys, here we go.
Okay.
Maggie, she's our narrator here, okay? She's a public radio producer based in New York City. Her work focuses on mental health issues and social issues. She's a producer at large for NPR's Latino USA. She's an adjunct professor at Craig Newmark Graduate School of Journalism at CUNY. She's an NPR Next Generation Radio Fellow. And she's also a 2019 Ford Foundation 50 Women Can Change the World in Journalism Fellow. That's Maggie. Now, can I spend the next two episodes talking about her hair and her tattoos and how gorgeous she is?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm here for all of those credits.
Yes.
Just saying.
Okay.
Look, I know she has a job to do here.
Yes.
She did not write the narration.
As far as I know, she did not write the narration.
It's an Oxygen show, you guys. What am I supposed to say? It's a very high stakes case.
Yes.
People are obsessed with this case. Mm-hmm. And they just like went on Reddit and made six reality episodes about it.
But you guys, we are going to learn about this case. This case is crazy. It's one of the most high profile missing persons cases in the world.
Right.
So episode one is called Everyone Has a Theory.
Don't they ever.
And it opens with like one of those like quick recaps of what happened.
Right. She takes all the money from her bank account.
It's like $280.
Buys all the booze she can and hits the road. That's, and at first I'm like, all right. Okay.
She totally sounds like my kind of girl in that regard.
I mean, yeah. So far I don't disagree with anything.
February 9th, 2004. College student Maura Murray emails her professors. She says there was a death in her family. But it's a lie. She packs her belongings, withdraws all the money from her bank, picks up some alcohol, and leaves town. 4 hours later, she crashes. And then, Maura Murray disappears. Forever.
So we get Maura's backstory.
Yeah.
She grew up in a working class town south of Boston. You know, she was like an overachiever. She got a 1420 on the SATs.
Which is like, whoa.
Yeah. Whatever. She goes to West Point, which I was like, oh, God, nothing. That sounds terrible.
That sounds horrible. Yeah. And then she doesn't stay at West Point. She goes to UMass.
Yeah, we'll get into that. We'll get into why in a minute. Yeah. We find out right away that she went missing the week Facebook launched.
Yeah, they make a big deal about it because it's like, well, here's the first true crime case the social media is going to try to solve.
It's true. And they get into like a few more of the theories.
Some of them believe the police botched the case and are involved in a cover-up.
The Haverhill police. They're lying about stuff, making stuff up.
Others think the family is hiding something and that Maura was afraid of her own father.
I'm convinced that Fred outright lied to the people that are trying to find his daughter.
Everyone has a theory.
Everyone is Joan Calamezzo speculating wildly.
Yes, I know.
Let's pull out the world map and speculate wildly. That's everybody. Was she having an affair? Yeah, sure. Sure. Why not?
But
bad.
The thing that Maggie does say that I really liked was she said that she believes that Maura, like the 70,000 missing women in the United States, deserve this kind of investigation.
Yeah.
70,000 missing women.
That's absolutely terrifying.
That is unbelievable. Yeah.
We definitely need more eyes and ears on stories like these. Yeah, absolutely.
For sure. Yeah. You guys, first stop, she's going to meet with Lance and Tim, my Maura Murray podcast boys.
Yes.
My first stop is to the suburbs of Boston to meet a pair of wildly popular true crime podcasters.
The Missing Maura Murray podcast has had over 8 million downloads since July of 2015.
Tim Pollari and Lance Rinstierna have been exploring Maura's case for 2 years and recorded over 40 episodes.
I love these boys. I think they are the cutest boys in the world.
You fangirled super hard at CrimeCon.
I saw them at CrimeCon and I got my mouth dried up. I couldn't talk.
You grabbed my arm like I grabbed yours when I saw Gemma from The Keepers. Like nail imprints. You were like, oh my God, oh my God.
I had never heard about this case before their podcast. Mm-hmm. They also made their own documentary.
Right.
Their documentary is more about the pop cultural like phenomenon of people being obsessed with the case.
Right.
It's really interesting. Anyway, Maggie goes and sits down with my boys.
Yeah. So now this is the first time I'm learning the details of what happened after she got into this accident.
Yes. Yes. So they tell us at like 7:25, they say, is when Maura comes around that corner on that road and like crashes into a tree. It's this really isolated strip of road where cell phones don't work. That becomes important.
I know. Yeah.
So 727, neighbor number one calls 911. So then...
Butch with a bus driver pulls up, who's also a neighbor, and talks to her.
She said she already called AAA, which is a lie because there's no cell phone service up there, so she could not have gotten a call out.
And he knew that immediately.
Yeah.
Super sketchy local bus driver Butch Atwood pulls up. Can you imagine crashing your car like some creepy old man pulls up in a bus?
And it was like, was it a school bus driver?
Yeah, school bus driver.
What are you doing out at 7:30 at night? I'd love to know. So then by 7:40, a second neighbor calls 911 for a second time.
And I think that is like the most fascinating thing, at least for me, is that this accident happens. There were eyes on the accident. It is in the White Mountains in New Hampshire, but there's a house there. There's a house here. Someone pulls up and talks to her. There's phone calls made to 911. And right at this moment where apparently everybody turned around or wasn't looking, she's gone. And that window of opportunity is like mind blowing to me. It's baffling.
How long is that window?
You can probably narrow it down to about 7 minutes.
What Lance and Tim are saying is that within this 7 minute period, there were probably periods of 20 to 30 seconds when nobody was looking at her.
Sure.
So in one of these little pockets of like 20 to 30 seconds, she's gone.
In the dead of night.
Dead of night. In the middle of fucking nowhere.
In the winter.
In the winter.
With no cell service.
Right, exactly.
Weird.
I know. That's why we're here, Julian.
I know. I'm just saying. You know, I'm still processing it.
Right. And so now we're getting into the theories.
She could have run away and hopped in a car, and that person may not remember that moment 13 years ago. It might have been a small moment in that person's life. Or she was picked up by someone. Maybe that person wanted to fool around with her or something, and she rejected that person, and who knows where it went from there. Or it makes you think that, oh, this is a serial killer. This is someone who followed her and waited for that moment and grabbed her.
So the family, Maura Murray's family,
yes,
they will not speak to Tim and Lance.
Because of their association with James Renner. Well, oh, the bell makes her first appearance. Hey, girl.
They
crazy?
Call it the James Renner factor. Yeah. Look, I have some issues with this one.
Yeah, James Renner is a nutcase.
I don't understand. Like, what exactly am I watching?
I know.
He is so ridiculous. And they keep giving him all this airtime and seeming like credibility. Like, in the same breath, Maggie will be like, this person's a nutcase. But let's hear what he has to say for 15 minutes anyway and go down this bonkers theory. And I'm like, Maggie, come on. You know, over Martini should be like, oh, I didn't want to do that. I fought the producers on that. Even the way they describe him, like, he's the focal point of much speculation. No, he's crazy.
He's crazy. He did write a best-selling book called True Crime Addict, which is all about his years of obsessing over the Maura Murray case.
Yeah, best-selling doesn't necessarily mean it's a good book.
That's
true. I just want to put that out there. People throw, like, where that, I'm a best-selling author. Yeah. No, it was sensational.
So then we meet Art Roderick, who I'm obsessed with.
He's a retired U.S. Marshal.
This guy, Art is no fucking joke.
He calls Maura's family cagey. And I'm like, oh my God.
He's a specialist in finding people.
and knows how law enforcement works. Art also has connections to the Murray family. He's recently gotten to know Maura's father, Fred, and has started exploring her case.
He is the one who sort of brings Fred into this whole documentary situation.
Right. Even though Fred, like, he didn't want national attention. And so James Renner thinks that's a big red flag. Like, why wouldn't the father want a media circus around his missing daughter? Like, I don't know. I can think of a couple of reasons why.
So now Maggie decides, like, she's got to talk to James Renner. So she gets, like, on a Skype call with him.
Mm-hmm. Boop, boop, boop. Boop, boop. This was, like, their pre-interview, but they aired it on the Oxygen show for whatever reason. But you know why they did?
Why?
For this insanely ridiculous, bonkers, sensational line that he says.
The thing about Maura Murray's life at the time of her disappearance is her life was essentially falling apart. Understand that as you're talking to people, is they all have reason to lie to you. Everybody in this case lies.
So we're already planting the seed of, like, nobody knows anything.
Right.
Everyone's lying. Everyone has something to hide, except for James Renner, bitch. Get out of here.
Okay, we'll come back to James Renner again in a minute. So Art and Maggie decide they're going to retrace Maura's steps. So she left her dorm, she went to an ATM, went to a liquor store, and then ended up in Haverhill, New Hampshire.
Right.
They want to see the timing, like, how long does it take?
Yeah. And there's also security footage of Maura at the ATM, but the cops won't release it.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
This is another thing where people think the cops are covering something up.
Right.
Like, what don't they want us to see?
Right. This could either be, like, the biggest deal or the biggest red herring.
Yeah.
Which I feel like that you could say that about literally everything in this case. And they won't release the receipt from the liquor store?
I know. It's like, we know she drinks. It doesn't matter what she got.
But we know what was in the car. Shall we? A box of wine.
Yep.
Bailey's.
Yep.
And 8 out of 12 vodka wine coolers.
Vodka wine coolers? I didn't even know that was a thing.
Look, if you think my ears didn't perk up, I was like, say what now? They're vodka wine coolers, you say. Interesting.
Yeah. So Art and Maggie make this drive. The one thing I was thinking about was, like, they're in Maggie's car. They've got a 3-hour drive. Like, what are they talking about?
Is it just a lot of, like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, well, you know, there's just a lot of that, I think, for 3 hours. And then a lot of silence.
Totally.
And then I was like, oh, was that a, oh, never mind. And then Maggie's like, what'd you say? Oh, nothing. It wasn't important. And then silence for another 7 or 8 minutes. You hungry? You want to, like, fillet a fish or something? No, I'm good. I think there's probably a rest stop we can hit on the way back. I think we should just get there. Oh, okay. It's silence.
But what Maggie tells us is when she pulls off the highway where Maura pulled off, there's no way she could have been making this drive drunk because it's so windy and twisty, and we know the roads were really snowy and icy the night.
And it was dark out.
And it was dark. And so she's like, if she were going to crash because she was drinking and driving, she would have crashed long before she got to where she ended up.
Exactly.
But the being drunk I find to be kind of critical because people are saying, you know, she was drunk, so she ran away from the site. But I'm thinking she's not drunk, so... did she run away from the site or did somebody snag her?
The whole big, like, dun, dun, dun. Is that, like, the timing doesn't add up?
Right.
We got here an hour faster.
But the point is, with an hour, that could totally explain what happened. Like, wait, like, did she stop and meet somebody that then followed her, you know? Or was she driving in tandem with somebody else? Like, this hour could be very important or it could mean nothing.
Exactly. Like everything else. Let's play our favorite game. Gigantic break in the case or red herring?
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall.
No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at Remarkable.com today.
So the next person that she meets is Maura's older sister, Julie.
Right.
And they went to West Point together. The whole reason Julie is here, I mean, it's just fascinating to meet the family. But they bring up the boyfriend, Bill.
Yeah.
And Julie didn't like him.
No, she didn't. And then she's like, he's a talker. He's a little much for me.
Right. And I was like, she's talking about me.
Yeah. So like, they just didn't get along.
Right.
She doesn't like hate him like James Renner wants us to think.
Yeah.
She wasn't a fan.
Did he make her happy?
Yeah, I mean, I think so, but well, I don't like the fact that it's possible he was cheating on Maura. One of the girls on the track team, who was one of my friends, said she had some incident with Bill.
Did you encourage her to break up with him?
When I first told her about the incident, yeah, I was like, I think you need to move on.
So Maggie asked Julie about their dad, because everyone we meet in the family is like, everyone's accused of lying and hiding something,
yes,
whatever.
Yeah.
And so Maggie like just is basically like, so why does the media hate your dad so much? What's that all about? And Julie's like, I don't know. Also, I've never spoken to the police. And I'm like, ah! Maggie and I are both horrified in this moment.
Yeah,
because
totally.
Maggie is agog, if that's the right usage.
This stops me in my tracks. That plays into the theory that something is suspicious about the way the police handled the case. Do you think that if the police had interviewed you sooner, there was maybe something you could have remembered?
Absolutely. I mean, I'm trying to remember 13 years ago.
Right.
But of course, if someone had interviewed me 3 days or questioned me 3 days after, I would have
had that exact info.
The investigation might have been hurt by not interviewing Julie and affected the ability to determine why Maura left and where she was heading.
When somebody goes missing, you want to Asia McClain it, you guys. If
right.
somebody in your life goes missing, write down every fucking thing that happens that week.
And keep it in a folder.
And everything that you remember from the week before, write that shit down. Mm-hmm. Keep it pristine on that yellow legal pad like Asia McClain.
Yeah, put it in a vacuum sealed bag, right. Which I assume that's what she did.
All right, you guys, it's time for our interview with Fred Murray.
Okay.
Here we go.
Here we are.
So the thing is, when I watched this the first time, I was kind of like, oh, he's going to be like a gruff jerk. Fred Murray is so sweet with Maggie.
Yeah.
He like sits down with her. He's showing her pictures of Maura.
Old report cards.
Report cards, like handmade cards that Maura made.
These are for Maura, but I don't even know the age. Dear Dad, I just want to remind you that you always will be the best dad in the world. And she got a picture of the world here. That's Maura's version of the world.
Just the stuff of like, you know, she always lit up a room. At the core of this, Oxygen is over the top about it, but his daughter's missing and that's heartbreaking.
So now we leave Fred and Maggie's like, all right, it's time for my interview with James Renner. I gotta go track this bitch down.
Right, because James Renner was like, again, using the word cagey and like, Fred, be careful of that Fred Murray guy. And Maggie's like, I like Fred.
I know.
Interesting. James Renner told me everyone in this case is lying.
Right, exactly.
Including him.
Do you think he's got books to sell or? So she goes to his house and they sit down and like James Renner has this completely insane theory and it just keeps getting crazier. And you can tell that he has been living inside this story for so long that he now believes this insane thing that he's cooked up.
Right. Well, Maggie's just like, all right, so what's your theory? Go.
Right.
And he just like talks in circles and he doesn't actually say what the theory is.
Yeah.
For like 10 minutes, it feels like.
Right. And then he just drops the bomb.
I think Maura is alive. And I think she was running from the men in her life. I think Maura found out she was pregnant.
Why do you think she was pregnant?
The police think she was pregnant. They had searched her computer and found all these searches relating to the effects of drinking on a baby. And I think Bill was the father.
James Renner's big fucking theory is that Maura Murray didn't want Bill to be the dad. So she, like, hightails it out of UMass and then, like, is driving through New Hampshire to get to Canada to start a new life.
Right.
He also thinks that she was driving in tandem with somebody else mm-hmm. so that when her car crashed, whoever she was driving in tandem with picked her up and it happened really quickly and that's why nobody saw it.
And he also thinks, falsely,
yeah.
that he's this close to finding her.
Yeah. So there's this other whole thing, and this is part of Lance and Tim's documentary, too, mm-hmm. where there's apparently been sightings of Maura in these little towns in Canada. Mm-hmm.
So we took a trip up to Canada, went to this record store, and there's this woman, and she said, I've definitely seen that woman here. She came in, she spoke with an American accent, very athletic, and I'm sure that was her, that 100%. And at this one athletic club we went to, we showed her flyer, and the woman immediately, she's like, yeah, I know that's her, I've seen her.
This is James Renner's big theory, that she's alive, living in Canada, and he's gotten this close to getting her. And he says to Maggie, like, you have the most resources, like, you're with Oxygen, if anyone's gonna go find her, it's gonna be you.
Yeah, it's like episode one, end credits.
Okay, episode two, A Reason to Run.
Right, and it's like, previously on, James Renner is full of shit, but let's give him a ton of airtime anyway. And I'm like, okay.
Renner's theory on why Maura ran away goes even deeper than the alleged issues with her boyfriend or father.
Maura got in trouble at West Point. She stole from Fort Knox. Maura Murray stole from the most secure facility in the United States.
I will say that Maura made some questionable choices.
She did.
Can you tell me what Fort Knox actually is?
It's a fort.
Okay. Where Amanda Knox lives?
Uh-huh. That's what it is. Yep.
Oh!
That's exactly it.
Thank you for clearing that up for me. I think that Fort Knox, again, city, gay city hick here, I think that Fort Knox has something to do with West Point. It has something to do with the military.
Yeah, but people even say, like, oh my God, I couldn't even get in there. It was like Fort Knox.
It was like Fort Knox.
It's known as being, like, a super, super, super secure place.
So Maura goes to, like, the shopping center at Fort Knox and steals lipstick.
And I was like, there's a shopping center at Fort Knox?
Is there, like, an Old Navy there?
You can, like, go to the mall?
I know.
Delia's, the wet seal?
But, like, the military police pounce on her.
Yeah.
It was a big deal, you know, because West Point, you know, they take honor code violations really seriously. When they found her guilty, they allowed her to withdraw from West Point and go to UMass. So that's how she ends up at UMass.
So she goes to UMass, and you would think that getting arrested by the military police at Fort Knox would be enough to, like, turn you off from a life of petty crime. Nope.
No. While at UMass, she
was... The look of concern for her on your face just now.
Because something is up.
Yeah.
Because when she's at UMass, she was stealing credit card numbers. I also don't know how you steal a credit card number.
I know.
But she was stealing credit card numbers to buy pizza.
So the thing about it is that, like, the campus police organize a sting. First of all, can you imagine,
yeah.
like, Matthew and Jim and those idiots?
Kevin.
Are in police. Yeah, totally. In, like, the little, like,
bloop, bloop. That's basically a golf cart. It can't go above 50 miles an hour or whatever.
Totally. But they, basically, they follow the delivery guy into the dorm, and it's, like, little Maura Murray.
Well, gotcha. Don't it hurt ya?
It's just horrible. Maura, why are you committing credit card fraud to order pizza?
Right.
And, like, she has to go in front of, like, a campus judge.
Of course.
Who's super nice to her and says, like, listen, if you can stay out of trouble for 3 months, we'll expunge this from your record. 3 months.
Yeah. Also, remember why you're here? Because you got kicked out of West Point.
Right.
Like, just, I mean, that is incredibly lenient.
Yes. Yeah.
Just, like, be good for 3 months. Patrick, does she do it?
No.
No, she doesn't. She takes her dad's car to a party.
Right.
After the party is when Maura then drove her father's car at about 3:30 in the morning, and that's when she got in an accident right next to the university. She was going to get cited for that accident. At the very least, failure to control or reckless op. That might have been enough for the judge to say, you couldn't stay out of trouble, so now you've got this on your permanent record.
Somebody who loved her needed to sit her down and be like, girl, what is going on?
Something is up.
Where was the gay in her life?
She didn't have one.
She didn't have a Salvatore?
No. I love how Salvatores are gay now. You mentioned him last week, too.
I made up a Salvatore.
Yeah, I love him.
And so this is where James Renner says, like, you know, all of these things. She was maybe pregnant. She hated her dad. She hated her boyfriend. She was in trouble at school.
She's like, crashed the car.
Crashed the car. Forget it. I'm out of here. I'm going to start a new life.
Because she didn't want to disappoint her father because she crashed his car.
Right.
So I'm going to run away and fake my own death. Like, James.
Right.
Look, hitting the ATM and buying a bunch of booze and just, like, running. Look. We've all thought it at least once. Let's just run and never look back.
Get your wine coolers before you go.
Vodka wine coolers. I want to get one right now. I'm so curious about this.
I know. So, you guys.
Oh, my God.
This is where we hear of Maura's sister, Kathleen.
Yeah. Who's described as her eldest sister and confidant. Yeah, they lead us to believe that she's estranged from the rest of her family.
Yeah.
And she's a little bit of an outcast from the Murray family.
Yes, exactly. But she was also very close with Maura when Maura was around.
Right. And Kathleen is at the center of the story that we keep hearing.
On February 6th, 2004, 3 days before she goes missing,
Maura's at work, and at 1 a.m., she gets a phone call. Maura was so upset by this phone call that she couldn't form words. Maura was a wreck to the point where her supervisor had to escort her back to her dorm. The only thing she said when asked what was wrong was my sister.
So here's the thing. This phone call is a linchpin of the missing Maura Murray case.
We know that there was a phone call.
The phone call's real.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, to me, I was like, well, that phone call could have any number of explanations.
Right. But now we're jumping back a little bit because yeah. Now we're with Maggie and Art and they're looking into the evidence.
Right.
So now the cops who are, up until now, I've been told by Oxygen, not helpful in covering everything up, just like let Maggie and Art analyze Maura's car.
Yeah. So this is kind of crazy. Like, Maura's car, the car that she crashed into that tree, Maura Murray, like the most famous missing person now, around now,
yeah.
they still have her car in the impound lot.
Right.
And like Maggie and Art are taken to the car. They just were looking at Maura's fucking car.
I know. It's crazy.
It's crazy.
And I'm like, that seems pretty helpful to me.
I know.
I know I'm new to the case. I'm just saying, like.
Right. There's like a random Stop and Shop car on the driver's seat.
Yeah.
Not Maura's.
No. Well.
Could be. Who knows?
I don't know.
Right.
Again, my favorite game. Brenna, Brenna. Big break in the case or just a goddamn red herring. But here's what we learned that she had with her.
She has stuff just very typical of what a 21-year-old girl in college would have in her car. Diet Coke, Twizzlers, IDs.
And she has her school stuff, you know, nursing books, spiral notebooks.
Right, travel toothbrushes,
right.
Multiple shampoos, deodorant, lots of workout gear.
She had things like if you were packing to go somewhere. Oh, also there was birth control in the car. So let's get that pregnancy theory the hell out of here.
So that's the other, not only birth control pills with like two pills missing.
Right, so she was taking them.
And it's like, James Renner, how did you not know that?
Oh, he knew.
Like,
he just...
That's such a hole in his theory.
Absolutely, but I think you're right. He's starting to believe his bullshit. So there's one more hole, now that we're on the let's like
yeah.
rip James Renner apart thing. So another theory about why she's pregnant
uh-huh.
is that apparently in her search history.
On her computer. She'd
been Googling like the effects of alcohol on a baby if you're
right.
pregnant. Enter Erin.
Erin O'Neill.
And you majored in nursing at UMass?
That is how I met Maura, yeah. We had a maternity assignment. So what we had done as our clinical instructor had advised us to do was to look up clinical terms and then email them to each other.
And that's why she was Googling those terms and sharing
right.
them with
Right, we were
the,
all Googling maternity terms and then emailing each other.
The other thing about Erin that makes me crazy is
this
that...
This is so creepy.
I know. Apparently, Maura had borrowed clothes from Erin.
Uh-huh.
And she called her the night that she left and was like, hey, girl, I'm going to bring your clothes back. And Erin's like, no, girl, you're good. Like, why are you going to bring them back? It's fine. I'll get them
tomorrow,
when I see you.
Whatever.
Right. So Erin wasn't feeling well. She gets into bed probably with a pint of ice cream. She's probably watching Golden Girls.
I mean, obviously.
And she's like in bed and she hears a knock on the door and she just ignores it.
Right.
And the next morning she opens the door and it's the bag of clothes that she had lent Maura.
It was February 9th, 2004, just 4.5 hours before Maura Murray vanished.
Wow, so if you had answered the door, you would have seen Maura.
Yeah, if I had gotten out of bed. I felt guilty about that for a long time. You know, like maybe things would have turned out different.
She's saying, like, if I had answered the door, maybe everything would have turned out totally differently.
Maybe we would have, like, ordered pizza and hung out,
yeah,
and
yeah.
she wouldn't have been
like,
on the road.
Why are you upset? At least where are you going?
Yeah.
Because the other thing is the idea that Maura was lost. This woman, Erin, could have told us, well, she wasn't going there. She was
yeah.
going somewhere else. She took a wrong turn. Again, question marks. Just question marks everywhere.
Question marks on question marks on question marks.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Okay, are you guys ready to meet Evie Pomporis? She's former Secret Service.
The answer is you're not ready. Right. That's the answer.
Here is what is happening. We've arranged an interview with Sister Kathleen. Jillian, where?
In a motel room, which is next to the motel room that Evie and Art are in.
Evie Pomporis has over a decade of experience conducting highly sensitive interviews. Whether Kathleen is struggling to remember or intentionally hiding something, Evie is trained to help draw out what we need.
And so Evie is basically, she's like an expert on getting people to spill the tea, right? So when I first met her, I was like, oh, okay, so like she's going to be interviewing Kathleen. Oh, No. This is an oxygen show. They have Maggie. Let me paint a picture. Maggie and Kathleen are in one motel room.
Yep.
They have two beds in it, and they're sitting on the beds facing each other. So, like, Maggie's on one bed, Kathleen's on the other.
It looks ridiculous.
It looks ridiculous. Yeah. Like, just use the chairs that come with every hotel room.
Right, sit
in a chair.
Meanwhile, Maggie's like, girl, I know. I did not direct
look,
this scene.
Again, the producers. And then in the room next to them is Evie and Art, and Maggie has an earpiece in.
I know. So what they're doing is Maggie is interviewing Kathleen.
Right.
And Evie and Art are watching this on camera.
Right.
Like, the idea is using these earpieces, they're going to be directing Maggie about, like, she's lying. Push her harder on this. She's uncomfortable. She's not telling the truth. She is telling the truth.
Right. But it just seems like Evie and Art are talking to each other and not Maggie.
Right.
Like, there was nothing that I heard that made it seem like Evie was actually addressing Maggie and being like, okay, now say this.
Right.
I never heard that.
No. And it's super uncomfortable. It's so weird. You can see Kathleen is like, why am I sitting on a bed? Maggie is a very skilled interviewer.
Yes, she's excellent.
She's so warm.
Tell me a little bit about growing up, like what Maura was like, what your family was like.
Growing up was awesome. You know, my father would get us on the weekends and we'd go to hike. You know, that's what we love to do. Camping's the best. It was just perfect, you know?
And Evie's immediately, just like every like body language expert, which is such bullshit.
I know.
She's just like, she's too happy. This is not normal. This is not okay. Which at the same time, it's like, Evie's ridiculous, but I get super weird vibes from Kathleen.
Totally.
So I'm like, oh, I kind of agree. It is too, like, everything was great.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Well, so then they get to the phone call, right? The phone call with my sister phone call, which is like the linchpin of this whole thing.
Yeah.
Maggie is saying to Kathleen, do you remember this phone call? And Kathleen's like, I mean, I remember a phone call. And she's like, did you say anything that upset her? And she's like, no, girl.
And then Maggie's like, really think, Kathleen. And Kathleen's like, you know, actually, I told her I was super unhappy and self-medicating and going to rehab. And then my dick boyfriend was popping pills and drinking in front of me and I relapsed. And
right.
I mean, that was a couple days before she went missing. So yeah, maybe it was that.
Maybe that was the phone call.
Maybe. Yeah. And Maggie's like,
when you got out of rehab, did you start drinking again?
Yeah.
Did you tell Maura that?
Yeah.
You know, if my sister was telling me those things, I'd be really upset. I'd be worried about my sister.
Now, we sort of, for the first time in the whole history of the Maura Murray case, have an answer. Like, Kathleen is saying, I did tell her some really upsetting shit.
Right, and Kathleen still to this day, apparently, is just like, I don't see why that would upset her. And Maggie's like, I can explain why. You're her sister and she loves you.
The other thing, too, in this Kathleen interview with Maggie, they bring up the, was she pregnant? Like, you were the one she was the closest to. If she was pregnant, she would have told you. And Kathleen's like, no, girl. She didn't tell me she was pregnant.
No.
And so this episode ends with Maggie being like, the runner theory's not really adding
Thank
up.
God. But is he in the next episode? Of course he is.
All right, you guys. The Disappearance of Maura Murray, episode 3, after the crash.
We learn that after Maura disappeared, Bill, the boyfriend, he kind of disappeared too.
So yeah, so we see Maggie has tracked Bill down. She can't get him on the phone. So we end up having a conversation with his super hot friend, Bob.
Because Bill kind of wants to move on with his life. And so Bob is a little bit his proxy, it seems
totally.
Like, right?
And that, so this guy, Bob, is really cool. He invites him to his house, his very cool looking house. And he debunks the whole idea that Bill disappeared when Maura disappeared.
Yeah.
By saying... he came as quickly as he could. Fred, Maura's dad, says the same thing. Mm-hmm. He was here for 10 days. He helped in the search. And then he was gone. And Bob was like, oh, yeah, he is in the military. He
right.
was stationed in Oklahoma. If he stayed any longer, he would have been hit with AWOL charges. He couldn't stay.
And now, and, you know, and they keep showing that stupid clip of James Renner painting Bill out to be the worst person ever. And I'm like, but we've debunked his theory. Why am I still looking at his dumb face? Why are we still giving him airtime?
Yeah. Part of that, though, is that, like, you know how, like, on the how the internet works is, like, you can debunk however much you want. People are never going to let go if it's their favorite theory.
Of course.
You know?
So Fred Murray, unfortunately, knows a lot about that.
Uh-huh.
Thanks to James Renner. Instead of James Goddamn Renner, yes. James Bell Renner. So first it's like, did Fred push them too hard with the sports ball? And I'm like, who cares? None of this is relevant.
Right, right, right.
None of this would make her drive away and get a new identity in Canada. Shut up. Right. So James Renner in that stupid book, I can't even speak. He's so frustrating.
I love you so much. And I hate that you're going through this, but I kind of love how crazy this is making
it's you. It's bananas. It's making me insane. Because there are no answers at the end of it. It's like I'm just walking down this crazy like funhouse road right, with like smoke and mirrors, and then nothing happens at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And then I leave and someone punches me in the face. And I'm like, great. All that for what? So Maggie is with Fred, and James Renner is a nightmare. And
right.
So Maggie's like, we're just going to go through one by one, and you're going to tell me true or false if any of this bullshit is real, basically.
Yeah, and she starts with, like, why didn't you participate in James Renner's book? And Fred has the best answer.
Because I anticipated that it would go the way it's gone. I had a hint with this earlier book that he actually sent me. I didn't think that he'd be consistently dealing with the facts. I didn't trust him.
And then Maggie, the music changes, right. The camera angles, and I'm like, I was like, this is it. I don't know what it is, but it's it. And Maggie's like, I'm going to ask you a really hard question now.
Uh-huh.
Fred's like, all right, like, cool. Like, I have nothing to hide.
Right.
Like a bullet. She's like, James Renner wrote in his book that you sexually assaulted Maura, true or false?
Did you sexually assault Maura?
And he's like agog again, word of the day. And she's like, it was a legend in the book, girl. Like, what do you want
right.
me to say?
And so Fred is freaking out.
How can you even ask me that, you know?
It was a legend in the book.
Between the lines or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because I didn't pour through mm-hmm. the book. Is there anything I can do about that?
You can answer the question.
You could answer the question.
I have in my notes, Maggie!
I was so here for Maggie in that moment. Because, you know, that's a really fucking hard question to ask. You know what I mean?
Of course. And like, she asks it. Boy, does she ask it.
She asks it. She obviously knew the answer.
Of course. Yeah.
And the whole reason I'm laughing is because he obviously didn't.
No.
It's a ridiculous allegation with nothing to back it up. Even Art is like, well, he more implies it. He never really says it. It's just one of those things that, like, sort of is implied.
Right. But then Fred makes an excellent point. He's like, yeah, but it's out there now.
Right.
And now it's on me to disprove it. And I can't.
And this is where Fred says that whole thing. Because Maggie, like, she asks everybody, she's like, what do you think happened? And Fred's like, I think somebody grabbed her. I think somebody killed her. And Maggie's like, where do you think she was going? And Fred's like, I don't know. And I don't even want to speculate. Because
right.
that's the kind of shit that gets the internet sleuthers taking a left turn when everybody should be focused on where is she? How do we find her?
Exactly.
Who cares where she was going? She's gone.
Right.
With a $5 meal deal with new McValue. You pick a McDouble or a McChicken, then get a small fry, a small drink, and a four-piece McNuggets. That's a lot of McDonald's for not a lot of money.
Prices and participation may vary. McDouble meal, $6 in some markets for a limited time only.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Maggie, by the way, has rented a house in the town where Maura crashed, like feet from the crash site.
Oh, that's Queen KZ style. Right, I know. There.
So they're at Maggie's house. Lance and Tim and Maggie and Art are talking about like the theories. Here's mm-hmm. what could have happened.
Right.
So the first theory is that she left on foot. And they sort of debunk this. She couldn't have gone west because that's the direction the police were coming from.
Okay.
So the police would have come upon her.
Right.
Then she couldn't have gone east because Butch Atwood would have seen her. Because he was sitting in his driveway, in his bus, quote, doing paperwork.
With eyes on both ends of the road, it's not likely Maura would get by without being spotted. But here's a wrinkle. There's questions about what Butch really saw, because he changed his statements to the press a few times. So he's either an unreliable witness or he's hiding something.
So the other theory is that she like ran into the woods to avoid being seen by the cops.
In the dead of night.
Yeah.
In the snow.
Right.
If you're that hammered to think that running is a good idea,
uh-huh.
you're not going to make it that far in the snowy mountains in the dark.
Right.
So now we're back to James Renner because his whole theory is that she like ran away to Canada with a friend.
Right.
And now we have to talk to people who have no credibility at all. Also, if they say in tandem one more time on the screen. She drove in tandem. Oh my God.
So one of the people that said that she had seen Maura was this woman, Roxanne, who mm-hmm. works in a record store. Maggie tracks this lady down. She has an interpreter. They're doing an interview over Skype. And here is the weirdest thing. Maggie's like, look, when this woman would have seen Maura, it would have been 10 years after Maura went missing.
Mm-hmm.
James Renner showed this woman a picture of Maura from like the week she went missing.
Yes.
So Maggie's like, if this woman saw a person who looked like the picture that James Renner showed her, it couldn't have been Maura. She would have been too young. The Oxygen people get an age.
They call it an age progression image.
So this is the thing where they're assuming what Maura would have actually looked like at the time that this lady said that she saw her.
Right. And I feel like James Renner's like, just say it was her so I can go home. Like, I don't think, if he's questioning you, I'd be like, I just want this weirdo out of my face. Yeah, whatever, it was her.
I know. The age progressed photo doesn't look No. anything like what Maura would have looked like.
No, not at all. No. So what they do is they put that age progression one that's supposed to be Maura and then three other photos.
It's like a photo lineup.
Right, right.
And if one of them looks like the woman you saw, you can identify her. So we'll go from there.
Basically what Roxanne says is the eyes, the skin tone, everything on the face doesn't correspond. And if someone had brought her one of those four photographs back then and said, do you recognize any of these people? He said, no, I don't know who any of these people are.
Do they identify her? Absolutely not.
Right. And so this episode ends with, like, Maggie, this is kind of a cool thing where she tracks down this author, Elizabeth Greenwood, who wrote a whole book about people who have successfully disappeared.
People who are successful in disappearing typically have a lot of money and resources where you can buy the most high-end documents, or it's people who have no resources where there's less of a trail for investigators to follow.
Her whole thing is like, if Maura had gone to like create a new life for herself, it would have taken years of planning.
And more than $280.
Yeah.
And she says like, when these people get caught who try to get these new identities, it's because they can't cut ties with their old life.
Right.
And all we heard about was how close Maura was to her friends and family, and her mother died.
So this is
she
absurd.
She would never miss the funeral.
No, because it's not like Maura had robbed a bank or murdered 10 people.
Right.
And she was, that's why she would have gone on to
start
a new
life. She's not like a fugitive on the run.
No. And so the idea that her mother was dying and Maura wouldn't have called her, wouldn't have gone to the funeral. It's absurd.
Right. Oh, real quick.
Yeah.
We meet someone, real name. His name is Dick Guy.
Yeah. This is what's going to take us into the next three episodes. This is really big.
Right.
You were one of the first responders on
the
scene.
We were. Yeah.
EMT Dick Guy arrived on scene at 7:56 p.m.
We were dispatched to that call. We drove out. There's a car that apparently impacted a tree, and it had spun around such that it was facing the opposite direction. We drove around it and parked.
And he tells us that when he came upon the car, there was a rag stuffed in the tailpipe of the car.
Right.
This is insane.
So it's that, and he's like, I've never, ever in my life seen that ever.
Yeah.
Ever. Not once, not never.
Right.
And he's horrified by it because right. it's a jarring image. I mean, just think about
it. It's really insane. And so the idea is, did Maura stop to get gas somewhere and a person saw her, like a crazy person saw her, mm-hmm. stuffed a rag in the tailpipe and then followed her. And then when her car broke down, which is what would happen with a rag stuffed in the tailpipe.
It would like stall the car.
This guy pulls up and pretends to be like, I'm going to help help you. Like, oh, damsel in distress in the middle of nowhere, yeah. Let me help you.
Oh, thank you. What luck that you drove by and now you can help me.
Yeah. And then she got into a car with this crazy person who then did something nefarious with her.
Right. And then we hear about this crew called the Loon Mountain 3.
Oh my God, yes, yes. This is another, oh my God, the next episode's going to be so good.
Oh my God.
So we hear about the Loon Mountain 3, who are these guys who worked at Loon Mountain.
Like a ski place.
A ski place, which, like, I'm from the area.
A
so like
ski place. We're such idiots.
<I know. laughs> Well, you put the sticks on your feet and you fall down the snow hill. So these three, we're going to get way more into this in the next episode, but the Loon Mountain 3 are these three guys who worked at Loon Mountain who were in the area where Maura Murray was the night that her car crashed, who then, like, didn't show up to work the next day.
Ooh.
All three of them. So we're going to get more of that next time.
Dun, dun, dun.
Girl, we did it.
We sure did.
Tell me you love it.
I do. I love talking about it with you.
Yeah, I'm obsessed. I'm obsessed.
Well, now I, like, oh, it's going to be my life now.
Are you fascinated by the case?
Well, yeah, of course. Yeah. I'm as fascinated as I am furious by it. Like, it's horrible.
You guys, come to our Pride show. There's like 100 tickets left.
Yeah, we're going to have the best time.
It's going to be amazing. We've got our drag queens. We hired a comic to open for us. Mm-hmm. I'm doing Pride tours all over the village. I'm going to take anybody who wants to go.
Hell yeah.
Show them all the cool old sites from old gay New York, old movie New York. It's going to be the best day.
Mm-hmm.
Go to our CS Live page, click on the Pride Show link, and get your tickets. They're going fast.
Do it.
Patreon.
Look, 27,000 episodes of Making a Murderer, The Jinx, Serial Season 1, The Staircase.
Yeah.
And random, I don't know, chats.
Madonna's Truth or Dare, The mm-hmm. Queen of Versailles, all the old extended outtakes. You guys, you can also get ad-free versions of these episodes.
Yes.
Go to our Patreon, join the fam. It is the funnest
time. It's a party over there.
Girl, we didn't even mention we're doing Lorena now.
Oh, yeah, Lorena.
You guys, Lorena. I have three words for you. Lorena.
Oh, you know what I'm not here for? Anyone's goddamn shit in Lorena. I am fired up about it.
Lastly, you guys, we're running our very first contest. We're giving away our very first garbage bell. All you have to do, go to iTunes, rate us 5 stars, write one sentence about what you love about our show. In a couple of weeks, we're going to pick our top 100 favorite, put them in a hat. We're going to pick a name out, and that person's going to have our garbage bell forever and ever.
Can it be like a glittery top hat like in Rocky Horror?
That sounds amazing.
Yeah.
If you're not on iTunes, you guys, fear not. We're doing amazing contests forever
and
ever.
No, we didn't forget about you. We love you.
Oh, we love you.
Yeah.
Next week, we're doing episodes 4 through 6 of The Disappearance of Maura Murray.
Yeah.
I was wrong. This is not available on the Oxygen website. I got it on Amazon.
I know. I was texting you like, girl, where do I find it?
I know.
But I found it.
That's where you find it. Girl, where can they find us?
Our beautiful website, truecrimeobsessed.com. We got your promo codes. We got your tickets to shows.
Yep.
Oh, episodes.
Everything.
Gorgeous pictures of us. Whatever you want.
Where can they find you?
At Jillian with a G on all the things.
I'm at Patrick Hines _ on the Instagram, at Patrick Hines on the Twitter. You guys follow us on Instagram at True Crime Obsessed Podcast.
You're obsessed.
I'm all over the Insta stories all day, every day. It's my favorite thing in the world.
Yeah.
You guys stay tuned for our hilarious outtakes. And
TM.
I know. And our palate cleanser.
Ooh.
All right. We love you.
Love you. Thank you so much.
Bye.
Bye.
You know I want to make a podcast about Maggie's hair.
Yeah, I know.
And like her like regimen of like of moisturizing her face.
Yeah. No, I'd like some notes on that as well.
James Renner thinks this party's...
Sorry, I haven't digged him in a while. I felt...
Ready? James Renner. Renner. Correct.
That's like a fantasy I've had. Right? Fine. I'm on really bad days. Like, you know what? I'm just going to gun it. Let's just buy all the vodka and let's just go. An 8-hour hike? That's insane.
My little Lancey and Timmy are going to take their water bottle and go into the mountains.
But so this person is going to try to bait them on an 8-hour hike so that they can also kill 2 podcasters? Let's think about that for a real quick second.
Yeah.
So, Peter, she drank a couple, which, you know, I don't believe in that. Do not drink and drive.
We don't know. We don't know that. I mean, she could have taken them with her. Like, what if, like, as she's fleeing into the woods, she's like, gotta have my wine coolers.
If she did, yeah. And I'm wrong, uh-huh. I will happily say that I'm wrong.
Yeah.
100%.
Because it means we will have found her and she will have told us.
Right, and then it's like we have bigger fish to fry. Like, are you okay?
She's been missing for 15 years. The first thing she wants to clear up is the wine cooler.
Yeah. Great. The first line of my notes is, Kathleen was mixing booze and pills. Oof.
I want Lance and Tim to come have a cocktail with us.
I know.
I love them. Did I mention that?
You have. Thanks to James goddamn Renner. Why? This is why we're doing a contest for the bell.
Oh, there she is.
There she is, boys.
There are days when I feel so afraid I can hardly remember to breathe. When reality crashes in wave after wave, pulling me further beneath. So what's the point in planning for a future if it all can be stolen away? It's all I can do to hold on and survive when the colors have faded to gray. But my children need so much more from me, and they give me the strength to go on. Whatever may come, all that matters now is where I go from here. There's an easier way if I live for today. Be
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.